know that when you have a purpose and a calling on your life, there's nothing that nobody and nothing can happen.
I am Angela C. Wright.
Over the top, the gotcha.
He said your numbers has shrunk. He said, I don't know how, why.
You're not going to get unless you're going to have mounds of security for me because you're not going to get me.
If I wasn't depressed and going through what I was going through, I probably would have never started.
And this episode was brought to you by The Ayers Agency, a full-service marketing firm noted in entertainment and culture. Hey, y'all. Welcome to another dope episode of Break Free Podcast with your host, Free. And today I got an OG with me, a fly OG at that, y'all. Help me welcome OG Giant.
What up?
I mean, you know they call you Giant, but you ain't but so big now.
Yeah, but I'm big and hard.
I'm big and hard. That's what's up. Big and hard. How you doing today?
I'm great. What about you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming through for me.
Oh, man, no question, man.
I see we both dressed in all black like the old man.
Exactly. What's happening with you?
I'm not. I'm just happy to be here. You know, just want to talk to you so you could give insight to others of things you've been through, how you got through it, and how you able to stand
and be the man
that you are today.
Right.
Yeah. So you came up on what side of town?
Actually, I came up in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So not just a certain side of town, all of them.
Oh, okay.
Most of them, rather. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Carver Home, Bankhead, Boulevard, Pittsburgh, so just.
You are Atlanta.
Yes, the real Atlanta.
The real one. And what was life like for you coming up?
Before the drug epidemic really hit our town, you know, we used to be running around talent shows and playing football and, you know, basketball and stuff like that, you know, for recreation parks. And then, you know, once started getting money, started popping.
Yeah, and what was your first introduction to getting money?
My first introduction. When we were younger, man, we used to run around. We used to figure out a way. We'd be creative. Mm-hmm. We used to figure out a way to get money before drugs came out. We might do this thing, what we just call till tapping.
What's till tapping?
Till tapping is when you may be somewhere over here distracting the person who's running this situation, right?
Uh-huh.
And me and him, we over here going in the cash register.
Oh, okay.
Just different stuff like
that. You know? Yeah, till tapping. Yeah. I never heard that one before.
It was a bunch of little stuff that we used to do, though. You know, we are, like, Atlanta was kind of big. They were known for scapping tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got a lot of our originals scap tickets. I wasn't that good with that because that's patience. Back then when I was a little younger, I didn't have patience like that. Yeah.
How would you say your patience have grown?
It's getting better. Later on, once we start talking about a few things, when we dig a little deeper, I can probably explain how it started to begin to get better.
Yeah.
Because I was put in a situation where if I ain't had no patience, I ain't no telling what would be going on.
Let's talk about that situation. Mm-hmm. So you ended up serving. I don't even want to talk about what you ended up serving. Let me back up. You were sentenced to life.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So life, like life, L-I-F-E.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you didn't have a number.
No, I didn't have a number.
Yeah. And what was that like for you the day that the judge said life?
And you know what? To be honest with you, sweetheart, it's spooky when I think about it. Mm-hmm. Because now I done overcame it now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a difference when a person actually hear or see your life flash over your eyes. Hear it through your ears. A flash over your eyes. You know what I'm saying?
So you heard like how people say they saw their life flash.
I heard it.
You heard your life.
Yeah, and that's all I can remember. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it sounds almost, it's almost more critical than a pistol being shot. Seeing it.
Right.
Because it's, you know, the judge got to hit the gavel, if I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah. You said it right, gavel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hit that and life. So now, got to digest that because you don't really know what that means off the top because, you know, at that time, I'm still young.
How old were you?
I think I was 20-something. My kids, all of them were young when I got locked up. I think my kids were real young when I got locked up.
Yeah.
I think I was 20-something.
Okay. And that day, like, when you went back to your cell, what did you think?
Man, worst part was it wasn't even the cell part. It was the bus ride back from the courthouse to the jail. Because what you're doing is you're witnessing a place that you might not even be able to get a chance to see in a long, long time, which was downtown.
Right.
So you ride through. You're going back to the county, but you're looking at stuff that
in a different light.
Man, all you can say to yourself is, man, I don't know when I'm going to see this again. So really, it was more so silence. It wasn't really, to answer your question, it wasn't really no talking. It was more so, it was a lot of chatter around me.
Right.
Niggas was talking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I'm...
was zoned in.
I'm gone.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there, you know? I'm just sitting there right there just looking. Because that's all I could do, you know what I'm saying? Because I, like I said, it hadn't really, you know, I hadn't figured out, not so much figured out, I just hadn't adapted to what was just had happened. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was more so like, you know, life. I mean, went to court, went to trial, lost, come back to court, get a life sentence, and now you're back on the bus, getting back, go back to jail.
Yeah. So what made you go to trial? Because most people, you know, the DA and them come with them stories, and they tell you you're going to get this going to happen, you'll never see the day of light. Man, so a lot of people will cop out and take a plea.
Be honest with you, my case was different. I pretty much had to go to trial after I changed my plea. Believe it or not, I'm crazy. I'm a little crazy. No, believe it or not. And this is a true story.
Yeah.
The dude that tried to flip on me, I peeped he was over in one of those cells, but he was on a federal case. Mm. So I already knew that it ain't even no reason for him to be here. Other than if he's trying to be...
cooperate with the government, yeah.
And they got him separated. So when I come down, we line up, we coming down, we walking. I see him, he wave at me. I wave back at him a little bit. Then I look at him. But he don't even know I already had my discovery package. And I saw that he was... So when he waved at me, I waved back at him. And then I said, well, I know what you over here to do. He was like, what you talking about? I said, don't worry about it, though. I said, before I let you sink me, nigga, I sank myself. Excuse my language.
Yeah.
I said, before I let you sink me and get away, I sank myself. So I called my attorney, told my attorney, hey, look, come here. Excuse me again. I said, see, this faggot-ass nigga don't want to do his time. But he gonna have to.
Yeah.
Because they ain't gonna need his testimony against me. Because I'm gonna tell him I did.
Yeah.
So I switched my plea. It was the craziest shit in the world.
Yeah.
Because they really didn't have no whole lot of evidence on me. So I switched my plea. I told my attorney, I said, look here, just go up there and tell them, instead of me saying I didn't do it, I did it, but it was self-defense. The dumbest shit in the world. Excuse me, camera. The dumbest shit in the world. But I'm just built like that. I told you, I try to stay silent. Like, I'm just letting Buddy know, like, you're not getting out on me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You're going to do your time.
Yeah, you're not getting out on me. I don't know what else going to happen for you. You know what I'm saying? You're not getting out on me. But then, you know, now we got to come up with a new strategy and try to rebound some things. You know, it's kind of looking kind of crazy for me saying I didn't do it.
So I did it, and it was self-defense.
Yeah, because it really was self-defense. It was really like a situation, you know what I mean? It was like a, you know what I mean? You know, but as I think about it, you know, sometimes a moment of thought sometimes, you know, can save you a lifetime of trouble. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that patience that you talked about exactly, that you did not have.
Exactly. You know.
And then so once you decided you changed your plea and everything and you got your time, how did you begin to do your time, you know?
I did my time. For me, really, I came out the chute running, like, because I was in the county for X period amount of time. County jail, it turns you into an animal by itself.
You was in four on Wright Street?
Yeah, on the 7th floor.
Okay.
The real when it was biting for real. Well, ain't nothing up here up on the 40 years and 20 years. And I mean, that's what you're looking for.
Right.
Facing. Everybody didn't get time because some people beat some of the cases, but everybody up here is everybody you probably used to see. They have had had some kind of situation where they did some major crime in Atlanta, which I probably used to look at on the news. Mm-hmm. That's where they was at.
Seventh floor. So do you feel like, was there a time, like, on that seventh floor when, you know, you happened to navigate through that jungle, did you feel like you was not going to make it out? Or did you feel like?
No, I ain't never feel like that, because the thing about it with me is, for number one, I really don't have, you can rest assured that it ain't no hole in me anyway, so mm-hmm. I'm not worrying about that part.
No. Not that way, not in that aspect, but make it out of the life sentence.
No.
I ain't talking about you holding your own or nothing like that. Yeah. I mean, like, mentally, like.
But I want to make sure, let me be clear for the camera. I'm not trying to talk tough. I'm just saying, I told you I try to stay solid about what's going on.
Yeah.
So when I say ain't no H in me, basically what I'm saying is, I ain't really going for a lot that, you know, a regular man won't go for.
Yeah.
So that's why I thought you were saying make it out like mm-hmm. that.
No, I mean, like, make it out of prison physically, you know, out of the life sentence.
Well, before, I didn't have the life sentence from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fighting it,
mm-hmm.
going back and forth to court.
Okay.
So at the, most of the county time.
Was done. You was going back and forth to court.
Going back and forth.
Oh, okay. But then, like, once you got the time and you was at prison, did you be like, I'm going to get out of this? Like, for me, for example, when I got sentenced and the judge said 364 months to the custody of Federal Bureau of Prison, I told myself I wasn't going to do 30 years.
Yeah.
And that's what I stood on, and that's what I said every day. Even though I look crazy to other people.
No, I promise you,
mm-hmm.
we share that same, that energy.
Sentiment,
That's what I'm trying to tell you. I never accepted it. So, number one, I definitely knew I was going to get out.
Yeah.
And I knew who and what was really praying for me. Like, I know what kind of dude I was before I left. So
right.
The powers are working for me.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't meant for a dude like me to spend my life in prison.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Because your purpose is bigger.
Yeah, my purpose is bigger.
Right.
So I always knew that. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes I used to talk to dudes, and they used to literally be saying, I remember one dude, he told me when we got out, he was like, what, John? I thought you were going crazy. Because, you know, I was telling him, well, I probably beat you out. He thought I was just playing.
Yeah.
And I beat him out.
Yeah.
He just didn't understand how manifest that what I live out for, manifestation. So
your faith. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So really, sometimes my energy, the way my energy was, like somebody like nephew, them young cat might come down now. You know, soon they get out of the bus, you can tell me. You know, I had my whole swag how I got out here.
Mm-hmm.
Might have some little incentives, mm-hmm. Atlanta braid hat, something that you can recognize, that's the city.
Yeah.
He get out of the bus, he come holler at me. He ain't got but 2 years.
Right.
My energy is up bigger than his.
Mm-hmm.
He looking like,
how I'm going to get through this? Yeah.
Not so much how he going to get through that, but he wondering, how can you be
so vibrant?
Still like that. Still like that. And that's what I used to have to do. So I had my times.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to smoke a lot of weed back then, too. I don't smoke weed now, but I used to smoke a lot of weed. And how I got through doing the time, I hustled. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it kept me preoccupied. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't think about certain things. And then I don't call home.
You didn't call home?
Mm-mm. I might have called home out of the whole 10 years. Okay, down the road, I might have called home. And I'm not even over exaggerating. Probably like 10 times.
Why? What was your reason about it? You felt like you can't do time in here and live out there.
Not time. You can't do a life sentence and try to live out here.
Oh, okay. That's
the
difference.
You got to keep remembering doing time and a life sentence.
It's totally different.
Two different things.
Yeah.
Because you don't never know when you're coming.
Right.
You know, I still got a lot of my partners right now. They still ride.
Mm-hmm.
They still ride. They exerted themselves with trying to
appeal
and doing the speeding. See, I used to be trying to tell these some of my dudes. I was like, don't rush it, because you know once you use this particular part up, you can't go back to that.
Right.
It's a motion for a new trial. It's the pills, and then it go into the federal stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I never made it to that. I got right after the motion for a new trial. I got granted the motion for my stuff was so merry-go-round. I got granted. But in my favor for the motion for a new trial, in trial from the same trial lawyer.
Wow.
2 days or 3 days later, and this going back to why you got to keep your faith for real and be because I got a little cocky. I started feeling, thinking about Tupac, because now I don't beat him. I'm like, reincarnated all this, so I'm back at y'all ass. Y'all come. So I'm in
told y'all I was coming.
I'm in the mirror in the hole. I'm in the hole. Mm-hmm. When the man first told me, he was like, hey, you need to get up. You got to go to court tomorrow. I'm getting cocky with him, the office. I'm like, I ain't got to go no court. That shit overturned. That shit over with.
Yeah.
I know you told me no cousin no more, but I get excited. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. I said, that shit over with. I ain't got to go back no court. You need to check your, make sure it wasn't. He said, no, you got to go to court. I thought it was some kind of misprint, misread. Yeah. I had to go back to court. But what I didn't know, after you get granted
a new trial,
the district attorney, they have a thing that they have called
a response.
A rebuttal hearing.
Yeah, rebuttal.
Yeah, you know what's going on.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I wasn't ready for that. Mm. I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting here. So my attorney come in. So I'm asking, what we back over for? They just overturned it. I got a new trial. I ain't got no more time. He was like, this is just part of the procedure. He was like, I don't think the same judge that overturned your case will come back and rule in the
favor of the district attorney.
Right. And they did.
They ruled in favor of the district attorney?
They reversed that motherfucker right there. Excuse me again. They reversed it right there. Gave me. So, I mean, going back to what I'm saying, I had a life sentence. I got the life sentence off me. Then they gave me right back to me in a week.
And
I couldn't even believe it.
That's what I was about to ask you.
I couldn't even believe it. I couldn't even believe it. But I know where it really came from.
From you being cocky.
God
beside yourself. God said, I will bring you down.
He had to show me for real. He had to show me. Stop doing that now. Got you. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? Now, I let you get by because most of the time your motives used to be good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, heart in the right place.
With your crookedness. I let you get by with something that you won. You've been a distributor all your life. You ain't never been nobody just, you know, you help people. You know,
right.
So, you know, I let you get by like that. So, when you start going into this murder stuff and doing all this stuff here, you had to let me know what was going on. Because I promise you, at that time, I lost on that trial. I had three bodies. That's just real.
Mm.
I had to fight this one, fight that one. Just think about it. You got a life sentence, and you still got to get ready to go to court for two more. See what I'm saying? It was crazy. It was crazy. It was a ride. But the only reason why I didn't go crazy because I was about to go crazy when I first got the life sentence, but I was like, That ain't gonna help you out at all.
Right, we're getting on psych meds, going to psych pills, and all that.
Stuff. You're thinking about it too much.
Yeah,
you might not never come up out of it. So that's why, like how you said, I kind of like just calm down and start, you know,
repenting.
Yeah, getting my word a little bit more.
Uh huh.
You know, still kind of who I am.
Yeah.
But paying attention a lot more on what's real.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I used to always say, hey, man. I used to be listening to Jay-Z in my head. I used to listen to Jay-Z a lot. But that nigga voice that used to be in my head, that breathe easy. You know what I'm saying? For real. So
yeah.
I like that breathe, nigga. And then slowly showed I started walking it down.
Yeah.
And got that situation, dead doc, got this situation, you know what I mean?
But you didn't get arrogant again. When the dead doctors and stuff came, you didn't get arrogant.
And still not now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know where your help come from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then so when it was finally overturned, mm-hmm. and you knew you was coming home, what was that feeling like?
And I'm telling you, that's almost like a movie, man, for real, because what's so funny, they used to have these things in the prison. I never did no detail. Because I wasn't going to work for them people.
Mm-hmm.
Not with no life sentence.
Yeah.
Because that's almost like I'm going to be working forever.
Yeah.
For free labor.
Yeah.
So I would always conjure up some kind of way.
To not be at the work.
Yeah, I don't have to work.
Yeah.
I'd be
on a medical pass.
Fake dorm order or something like that.
Yeah.
So I was doing shit like that. But it was this thing. It was this one detail that I used to like to do. Which is, I the only one who could do it because I'm the shortest dude in the whole prison.
Yeah.
You got to be short. So they climb, you got to climb up here and it's a blower. So you got to blow stuff out. But the only reason why I just like to do it because I was a hustler now, so I can travel. I can go from one side of the prison to
the other side of the prison. Just, oh, yeah, so you could make your moves.
Make my moves.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was doing that this one morning, and I'll never forget. So in prison, you know, as you know, niggas wake up different.
Right.
You never know which one he on, right, or which one she on, or yeah, which one. You never know. I seen a nigga walk in the dorm and just start hitting an officer with oranges.
Yeah.
Yeah, about like 30 oranges on. He was throwing them like they were bullets. She was like, what you doing? What you doing? What you doing?
Yeah.
I don't see people just wake up. And so this day, this dude woke up. He was on one. But I had the plug plugged in his thing.
Out of his room.
In his room.
Yeah.
So I'm blowing. Zzz, and I just heard someone say, zzz. So I looked down. It was a little young dude about my nephew age right though. So I know him. So I said, they used to call him Alto. So I said, hey, Al. I said, hey, Tope, what's going on? It was his room too. I said, plug it back up. He was like, I'm tripping. Then he give me just like that. So I can't hardly hear him. So I said, what? He said, tripping. I said, man. I said, well, plug it up in the other room. He plugged up in the other room. Mm-hmm. This dude snatched the plug out of that. I said, I know what you want. You don't want nothing. Get what you want. So I come down the thing.
Yeah.
When I come down the thing, one of my little homies, God bless you, dead, he used to work out with me. He came in skinny as that pole right there, right?
Uh-huh.
But over the time, he did about 6-7 years with me. He just got big.
Yeah.
You know, he big black young nigga. So yeah. God bless you, dead, little Tony. So this nigga, him so crazy, he see me going to Buddy. He just don't want me to leave the dorm because he get this free ride.
Yeah.
All the incentives that we can
get. Uh-huh.
You know, with us having to pack and doing what we're doing. This nigga to my bro, you ain't fighting today. So I said, what? He like, bro, you're not fighting today. So I'm looking at this little black nigga. He done got a little bigger now. I can't really just move him out the way. So I tried to do my OG thing, like, man, watch out, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was almost like a brick.
A brick wall.
So I was like, what you doing, Tony?
Yeah.
So I tried to get a little aggressive with him. So he got a back aggressive with me. So we're out here tussling in front of to go ahead and fight it.
Yeah, with the plug.
So I had to finally tell him, nigga, you going to tie me out before I go ahead and fight? You know what I'm saying? So I had to put a little strategy together. I said, all right, I got something for you. I ran down the stairs, fake like I was getting a shank, all that old extra stuff. Come out, scream in the dome. Y'all better get your little homeboy before I walk up there. He think I got a shank.
Yeah.
So when I'm walking toward him, he moved himself out the way.
Mm-hmm.
He looking at me like, bro, for real? So now the dude who I'm finna fight, he think I got a shank.
Yeah.
So he tell me some. Oh, I thought we were finna. I said, nah. So I went on fake like I had one just to get up on him. We did what we did, make a long story short.
Mm-hmm.
Nigga hit me in the top of my head so hard, too, though. That nigga was tall, man. That nigga was tall, man.
Yeah.
That nigga was bald height tall, man.
Yeah.
He couldn't really hook that good, but he was tall, so that nigga hit me in the top of my head good. But I got him, I caught him pretty good. So make a long story short. We broke it up because we was in a dome what considered to be like a Thunderdome.
Mm-hmm.
And they just let up politic ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
The officer wasn't even calling me by my last name. That man called me by my street name.
Mm-hmm.
He walking up saying, so he said, man, y'all just stop for me. I said, well, no, look, just make sure the inspection team, when they leave, tell them, buddy, when they leave, we can go back again. He was like, cool me. So I said, all right. So we down here sitting on about the telephone booth, me and the same little black little dude, but he know I'm a little mad with him, he's a little mad with me. They said, come to a counselor. You need to go to the counselor's office. I'm still so heated about.
You don't want to go to the counselor's office? You can't even hear that. Oh, you don't go?
Nah, but I don't go off of the first few attempts.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's when they get mandatory, you got to go.
Yeah.
So the man said, man, you got to go. So I said, for what? He said, man, I don't know. She just called for you. So I go up there. When I get up there, she said, your attorney say call him. I said, call him? He ain't even really got no collect phone like that. She said, nah, he sent this number. So now I'm a hard beam because I hope that ain't happened with the family.
Right, right.
Don't call home that much.
Yeah.
So I get back to the dorm. I call him. I say, sus, what's up? And then my nigga, he ended up turning out being one of my, like, my brothers for real. Because I told him when I first hired him, I was like, he thought, you know, he about my height. He came to see me. And he would fly. He had a little Gucci belt and stuff like that. And I was like, I'm flying to you on the street. I was just messing with him. He thought I was just probably lying.
Yeah.
But I called him. He was like, you sitting down? I remind you, I just got to fight.
Yeah.
I don't feel like what he on. I'm saying, sitting down. Nah, I'm not sitting down. What's up, man?
Yeah.
He like, I just need to know if you sitting down. I said, sus, I ain't sitting down. I'm standing up, but I'm going to pay for what's going on. He say, look, man, they just overturned your case. It was like November. He said, I had you home before Christmas. So going back to your original question, that was so much joy, man.
Yeah.
I couldn't even believe it. So I was like, what? So the same little dude, little Tony, he's sitting over there looking mad. I was like, come on, little bro, come on. Get the phone and see.
Did he say what he just said? Yeah.
Little Tony got a phone. He said, bro, you going home. I told Buddy who I just got a fight with, don't worry about that. We ain't got to fight no more. Yeah, come on now, everybody, come on now.
Yeah, they it's a celebration.
Oh, no, because it's like, this is life again now.
Yeah.
So, and this dorm is full of life.
Mm.
So this hope.
Yeah.
These folks are happy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Man, I'm talking about the same dude.
That you just fought.
That man actually came down there. He couldn't do nothing but hug me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was like, stick, you know, that shit wasn't even about that. All right.
And this episode was brought to you by The Ayers Agency, a full-service marketing firm noted in entertainment and culture. So what was that first day like? That first day that you walked outside them gates, what was that day like?
Oh, first day out?
Yeah, the first day out.
Because, you know, originally I didn't get straight out.
Oh, how long did it take for the initial phone call?
That's a whole nother story within itself. Check this out. When I left... prison, actually, mm-hmm. I had to go back to the county because I got a new trial. I ain't just got my freedom.
Oh.
I just got a new trial.
Okay. So like it was before.
Like it was before.
Okay.
I just don't belong to the state anymore.
Okay.
I belong back to the county.
Okay.
So, actually, they were trying to retrial me.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to finagle it. I had to finagle it because I'm like, look, I'm not going back to prison. Now, I'm dead 10 years.
And y'all not about to keep playing with me like a yo-yo.
Some kind of way y'all need to figure this out.
Yeah.
So now I had to monopolize everybody. Because once I figured out that the system do not really help you, mm-hmm. it's on you to help you.
Yeah.
And when I say the system, I'm not just talking about the jail people. I'm talking about the attorneys,
mm-hmm. the whoever, the DA, the prison, everybody. They're all one. Yeah. So you got to help yourself.
You got to help yourself.
Yeah.
When you're in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
My motto was, I played myself in here, so I got to play myself out of here.
That's right.
I can't really do it the honest way because I didn't come in here honest.
Mm-hmm.
And who I'm dealing with, they're not honest people.
Right.
So I got to beat them.
At their own game. Right.
So that's how I end up. I went back to the county. They put me on the calendar for to go back to court. So I went back to court. And my attorney, I turned him into a beast
mm-hmm.
because I need him to be a beast.
Yeah. But what he's up against.
Yeah, at the time. Mm-hmm. But now I don't need a beast. I need somebody that...
A gentle giant.
Yes. Because the DA,
yeah.
I need somebody to go ahead and talk to her and let her know, like, look, what can we work out?
Right.
So the original attorney that I lost Blue Trial with,
mm-hmm.
I fired him anyway just because I hired a new attorney, which is the young black dude I told
Suggs.
You about. Suggs. Mm-hmm. So he... Now I got to fire him. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. I got to fire Suggs and hire him back. He white, she white. He can get the deal. So she ain't going to give you the deal because we just beat her.
Yeah.
She mad with you.
Right.
But on the only thing what happened was I kind of did it that then, well, it could have rubbed Suggs the wrong way.
But it didn't because he understood the greater purpose,
Well,
though.
First he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
He came in the cell talking all loud. And I'm like, Suggs, don't get in my face like that, man. You know, right now, the kind of predicament I'm in right now, I'm not really worried about who toes get stepped on as long as they not mine no more.
Right, right.
I got to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
You did your job. You got me.
You got me as far as you could
take
me.
You got me as far as you could take me.
Yeah.
How much you get a white boy? I could have got the deal. No, you couldn't. They going to go get the deal.
Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't have got the deal.
They wouldn't have got the deal. But the day that I was so crazy, the day that I went and got the deal, the day that I was supposed to go and get the deal, I went to court, and this time I'm on the sixth floor. So we went to court. I was went to court. Went downstairs, put us in the holding tank, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a one guy. He was on trial, so they hurry up unchained him and took him this way. I didn't know who he was at the time, so they took him this way, and they had all of us standing right sitting over here. So they had him dressed out because he was on trial. And before you know it, he just went upstairs and went crazy, basically. Shot the judge.
What?
Shot everybody. So we downstairs, we don't know what's going on up here. But I've been gone 10 years. So now all the officers, they acting like assholes. They mad. They tripping. And I'm trying to ask, like, what's going on? I supposed to go to court today. Today the day I supposed to get the bond and get out. And they was like, shut up, don't say nothing, said. But we really didn't know. We still didn't know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Only way we found out like 3 days later, because it's all over the news.
Oh, okay.
Actually, the boy Brian Nichols.
Brian Nichols. I was about to say, was that when Brian Nichols,
I went to court the same day he went.
Wow.
That's why I was trying to tell you, this has been a whirlwind.
Yeah.
You know, this real.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So now I'm postponed.
And don't know when you're going to get back on the docket.
I mean.
But you knew God hadn't brought you that far to leave you.
Exactly. But, you know, it's like when you beat and done real time, right,
mm-hmm.
the shorter of the time, it's the more worsen. Like, after you beat and done, like, if you beat and done 10 years or anything up through that kind of way or whatever, 2 months, it's almost seemed like forever. You
it
know
does.
What I'm saying?
And especially when you don't know the outcome of something.
Man.
Anytime I used to get taken to the hole, you know, and be under investigation, mm-hmm. you know, you under investigation, they take you, they'll run anywhere from 30 days to, you know, 90 days, keep getting it extended, and you don't know the outcome. That's aggravating. But,
I
feel like if you know what's ahead, then you know how to adjust.
Well, that can work. But for me, it just didn't. Because mm-hmm. even though when I had a probation situation, right, mm-hmm. it was just that short time. It was just that I just have outgrown jail.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So it ain't for me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I ain't laid down, but I just don't. I think about what I do.
Yeah, as you should. As you should. Trouble easy to get in, hard to get out
of. I'm telling you.
Yeah, and that's not living.
Exactly.
I don't care what nobody say. I don't care what nobody say.
Tell you.
Anybody that makes somebody think being in prison is living,
they
lie to them.
Nah.
Yeah.
You know what's up.
Yeah.
You know what's up. You definitely one of my sisters like that now because I understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And you feel it like I feel it, and whoever else a part of that feel it. I salute them because for real, it's not living.
Mm-mm. At all.
Not living. You can make it. You can try to make it as comfortable
as you
as
want.
You try.
Yeah.
I mean.
I always say I never let nobody. I never trick myself off these streets again.
Man.
Period.
Only way I can go where I was forced where I ain't have no other choice. You
mm-hmm.
know what I'm saying? But tricking myself.
Yeah.
Going back to what I said, playing myself off the streets.
Mm-hmm. Not gonna happen.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Let's see. You have 11 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I admire is that. Because how many baby moms did you have?
Five.
Five baby moms, right? But your kids get along in a way where it seemed like they have the same mom and dad.
Yeah.
Like, so to me, that speaks volume of you, because obviously you was able to keep all their moms, you know, intact or whatever, but just it just speaks value of being a man who was away.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Who had this sentence, but, and you have girls too. You mm-hmm. get what I'm saying? And they all love their dad. They all, it's just, how was you able to basically like keep them so tight knit together?
That, to be honest with you, that was a situation was kind of designed before I left.
Mm.
That was, you know, I planted those seeds before I left. And then I cannot take all the credit.
Right. Because
we came as a village.
Yeah.
My mom, my brothers, my sisters, you know, and we just, you know, my mom was one of those mom that, you know, she loved everybody.
Right.
A lot of people call her mama, a lot of people such, auntie, and such. So she instilled love anyway with us.
Mm-hmm.
So whether we had nothing, they got that.
Yeah.
So once I started having those kids, I don't know why I'm going thinking about it. It turned out to be a blessing.
Yeah.
But it could have been the worst situation in the world. Shit. But once I started seeing all of them, it was so, and by the background from where we come from, like a lot of times I tell you, like with my mom, the love she have and the love that she instilled in how we need to be, it was just almost on the automatic, really. Like, that's your brother.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't your stepbrother.
Right.
That's your sister. Matter of fact, we ain't got to talk about that. All y'all come and stay right here. You know, get to feel each other.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when I came home, I told all my kids, mama, I was like, look, y'all done pretty good. Just send them all to me.
You did?
Changed all their last name. Went and got to start a house. Taught them girls how to wash their face. I'm giving them vitamins. They feeding the dog up on the table. They just doing a lot. But,
yeah.
I gave them baby mom's a break.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been gone 10. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
I told them, don't send them no clothes. Don't send them no money. Just send them. Now, I didn't force everybody. What I did was, who want to come.
Yeah.
So, you know, they never really got a chance just to stay in-house together, like, mm-hmm. forever. Like, I mean, for a good period of time.
Yeah.
They might used to, I think they used to all join together and go with my mom. And my mom come from ghetto area, so, you know, they had a deal.
Yeah.
Make some patties on the floor.
Yeah, yeah.
They could all come over there and spend the night and have a good time, but then they have to go at some period of time because they all got to go. It's like for some reason, I don't know how it happened, but I think I got, like, two kids by each. I got three kids by one.
You got three by one because it's 11. It's an odd number. So somebody got three, then two.
I got three by two.
Mm-hmm.
And I got two, and one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and so how important is fatherhood to you?
Well, it's very important.
Yeah.
It's very important. And it ain't just important to be a father. It's important to have a father.
Right.
See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because it's like a lot of things that why I was able to get so much love and be there in those kids' lives because my dad struggled. Not with love, just with his addiction.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just one of those real ones to where I know how to navigate.
Yeah.
I don't cry much. They say I'm a whiner now. Everybody, somebody, you ain't got old, you whine about everything. Say, well, what about nigga? When I used to whine.
Yeah, I'm entitled to now. Yeah.
So, but fatherhood is very important, man. And I try to make sure that I acknowledge that with the kids that have kids, with my little brother, my siblings,
mm-hmm.
like, I post them niggas. When I know they on they taking care of their business,
yeah.
About them kids,
you pull, yeah.
I post
as you
that,
should, yeah.
And I let them. I give them their flowers.
Uh huh.
But you're doing good,
yeah.
Like my little brother who here with me tonight. He might smoke a little weed and do whatever he do, but boy, he on point.
When it comes to them kids,
oh my God,
yeah.
So impressive,
yeah.
You know what I mean,
and I think that's important because it seemed like. Fatherhood had, like, fathers have got away from being either in a household or just being that staple figure that they need to be.
Exactly.
In the lives of kids.
I got a book out. I wrote it probably about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
What's the name of it?
It's called A Recipe to Be a True Player. Mm-hmm. But what it is, it's not me talking about my playerism. It's me kind of schooling dudes, fatherless guys.
Right.
It's a guide, really. Mm-hmm. I don't have chapters. I have ingredients.
Okay, give me one ingredient.
Versatility. Mm-hmm. You know. Give you another one. Hygiene and grooming.
Yeah.
Agendas and motives. It's just different stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Fatherhood was one of them things that I used to talk about in one of the ingredients because it's very important, you know what I'm saying? For real, because I was trying to tell the people that for some reason it's misunderstood about taking care of the kid.
Uh-huh.
And really being there.
For him. Yeah.
Like, yeah, if you just come over there at Christmas time, drop off a little money, and on things of that nature, you missing out a whole bunch, and they are missing out on a bunch. Right. Y'all robbing each other. You basically robbing both of y'all.
Right, right.
Opposed to where your daughter know, even if you ain't got a car, you come over there and you walk her to the school.
Mm-hmm. Because I always tell people that as a woman, you know, as little girl, when we little girls, we patter the men that we choose to date after our father.
Exactly.
Our father is the first example of a man.
Exactly. Yeah. I agree. But like I was telling you, like on some for some guys, you know, a couple of my brothers used to kind of be like that. They'll put their business before quality time.
Right.
Not saying they don't do what they're supposed to do as far as taking care.
Financial.
Quality time mm-hmm. is very, very important.
It is.
And see, that's what I had. I had to put that in, that work in when I came home with them. You know, like that's
why. Well, you've done a great job.
I appreciate you.
You know, I didn't even know you. You know what I mean? But knew of, like, how you are about your kids and how your children love you.
Right,
not
right.
kids, but children, how your children love you.
Right.
So tell me this, before I let you go, this is Break Free Podcast, so you have to tell me something that you feel like you need to break free from.
What I need to break free from?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think for me, to be honest with you, me personally, I need to break free from anything illegal.
Okay. Well, you being honest?
No, seriously.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm doing nothing illegal
at the moment.
Illegal at the moment, but yeah. I'm saying just that urge. Mm. See, I know me.
Yeah.
You know, I see big money, I make big moves. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I don't, what I dread the most right now is the bad karma.
That come behind it.
I can't stand it no more. I just refuse. I just would rather not have to go through that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
It take a little time for when you do it the right way, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's slower.
Yeah.
But guess what? For one, it's for sure, and for two, you free.
Exactly.
That's the way I look at
exactly.
it. You know what I mean? When I get tempted, because there was a time, I used to look at girls that came back to prison like, how was you free and you didn't came back? But I found myself, you know, in that first year that I was home, and I'm used to living a certain way. I'm used to looking and dressing a certain way,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And not being able to do that, and it's just like, wait a minute, I know I could do A, B, and C and get D, E, F.
Right.
Out of eye, and then just that one time. But that one time will be that time
exactly.
that calls us our life.
So that's why I said what I said. Like, seriously, like, you know, when I turned 50 years old a couple of years ago, everybody normal. They know we gonna have some dinners. We gonna do some stuff. I used to have a couple of after-hour clubs and stuff. They know I got that part of the background. But I didn't really feel like that. I was like, so what I did was I just went and joined me a church.
Oh, that's good.
I'm not running around trying to turn into the preacher.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
but even if you
my energy a little different.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
As it should be.
My focus a little different.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I was like, hey, man, at least you should have some type of spiritual connection, man.
Yeah.
If you're trying to stay.
Right. That foundation.
I mean?
You need that foundation.
Yeah.
It's so important. I don't miss a Sunday in church. Mm. If I do, it's because I'm, you know, out of town or something, but I still watch it virtual.
Me too.
And then not only that, you know, it's church, you know, corporate worship is great,
right?
But it's also that relationship that we have on our own.
Right.
Outside of being in church.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying? So
right.
I do, you know, the first of the year I had told myself, like, I've slacked from being in my word.
Right.
You know, so I needed to get back on that where I am in my word every day. Even if I don't do nothing but read two or three verses and digest them.
Exactly.
You get what I'm saying? Exactly. But just staying connected.
And that's what, that's very important. Because, you know, like somebody like us with the kind of history that we have, you know, you can easily, you know, kind of like, you know, start slanting. Yeah.
So tell them where they can find the book at.
Amazon.
Amazon, and give them the name again.
Recipe to be a true player.
Recipe to be a true player.
True player.
True player.
Not just a player.
Not just
a true one.
I thank you so much for your time and your attention today.
Anytime,
you fly as they said you was going to be fly. Yeah. I can see you had a way with them women in your day, too. I see why you got them 11.
Okay, baby.
Well, guys, this has been another dope episode of Break Free Podcast. I pray that something was said today to help you break free from what you're going through, or maybe you could tell someone else. I am free, and remember, it's always delusion until they see it happen. You see this man here, and that man had a life sentence. Okay, I'll see y'all next time.